Hebrews chapter 11 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. If you were here last week, you know that Pastor Eric did an excellent job of sharing from God's Word, so thank you for sharing in my absence. We actually went to Yellowstone, and how many of you have been to Yellowstone National Park? All right. How many of you have ever been bitten by anything at Yellowstone National Park? All right. I don't know what bit me, but I've got a little bug bite. So I'm just letting you know that if you don't get a handshake from me, just be thankful of that, because I don't want to spread anything. If I have anything that's contagious, you're not going to get anything. But one of the other things that we had at Yellowstone was we got to see some bear. That was kind of fun on the one side. On the other side, it wasn't so fun because we were on this trail that we were going around, and we hadn't seen anybody for a while. They said, there's a possible bear up in front of you, and we said, okay. And Bennett was leading the crew, and he turned around, and so did we. Now, I will let you know that on that little trail, it was supposed to be a 3.7-mile hike that took 2 hours. Now, for our family, that's not that big of a deal. We can make that happen, right? But 2 hours into it, we realized it was not going to be 2 hours and 3.7 miles. So we kept walking, kept walking, kept walking. And so we got probably 85% of the way of our then 7 mile, 4 hour hike when we saw the bear. Bears. There was, I think, a mama and two cubs. We didn't get real close, actually. We stopped and turned around and said, hey, we're not going to go that way. And so then we had to contemplate, are we going to go back all this other way to where we could get out? And anyway, we waited there a while, contemplated, and then a lady guide, Marine was her name, on a horse with some bear spray, said, you follow behind, we'll get rid of the bear. And I said, this is a good thing. And so we avoided the bear, and we didn't have to tangle with the bear, and that was okay, I think. Would you agree? We saw one other by the upper, I think it was the upper falls that we saw the other one by, the lower falls, one of the upper falls, lower falls, wherever it was at, but everybody was around, and everybody's taking pictures, and, you know, running up to the bear, and all that, you know, you gotta wonder about those things. The other thing that I want to mention about our trip was, last Sunday, we were privileged to be in a church in Thermopolis, Wyoming. Now, let me tell you that Thermopolis is not as big as Rapid City, and the church building was not as big as our church building, and there was 29 people there in the service. And as you know, my family makes up 6 of that, so we helped the attendance on that morning. And what a blessed time. And another thing that happened on that morning for me was we went to church and then we traveled on Sunday. And it was just neat to be in another church and just think, you know, God is everywhere. And there are millions of people who are worshiping God today. And we're here on this day. And it's a wonderful thing to be in First Wesleyan Church. I really am glad you're here. But there are people that are worshiping God other places. As we drove down the road, I remember there was one church on the side of the road, and there was like 4 vehicles at the church, if I remember correctly. And I'm thinking, well, that's not a really big church. But God's presence was there. And how wonderful it is that God's presence is there. And then let me say this also. And then I'll jump into God's Word. 2 weeks from today, you didn't invite somebody here. This is going to be a dedication service. I believe we've already taken place here, and God's presence is here, but we want to dedicate this building. And we're going to have one service at 10 o'clock. Now, hear me in this. It's going to be full in here. And I think it's going to be great that it's going to be full. We're going to add some more chairs here, so if you want to walk down the middle aisle, you're not going to be able to have that happen on that Sunday. And we're going to be just having a wonderful service. And so I encourage you, invite somebody, and you come as well. I think you're going to be energized. I think you're going to be blessed. And I think God's going to do something in your life on that day. And so please invite somebody as well as come yourself. Now, I want to jump into God's Word today. And I want to share with you a message that I believe every one of us should walk out of here with something from God's Word today. And I wonder, as we've been going through the faith chapter this summer, how has your faith been growing? How has God been growing your faith? I trust that He's been growing you in your faith. The title of the message is Obeying the King. And there are some interesting laws Maybe you know of some of those, but I thought that maybe I would share with you some of the laws that I read about. And I wonder if you think there are some times that people in Pierre or Washington, D.C. just make up laws to make things frustrated for us. Here's a law. In California, if a frog dies in a frog jumping contest, it can't be eaten. Not sure why. In New Hampshire, if you go to New Hampshire, you can't collect or carry away seaweed at night. So be aware of that. In South Dakota, it is legal for agriculture producers to set off fireworks and other explosives to safeguard their sunflower crop. So if you know of anybody that raises sunflowers, they can set off fireworks. Now, you also must know that if you're in West Virginia and you have a ferret, you can't use your ferret for hunting. So don't take your ferret out for a little hunting trip. And in North Carolina, those of you who love bingo, bingo games can only last up to 5 hours in North Carolina. I'm not sure why a bingo game is going to go longer than 5 hours, but wow. B2. Crazy rules. Today's biblical passage gives us a law that seems crazy to me, the killing of a life. But then again, as we think about our world, we think of China. And there was a one-child policy that began in 1979, and then it was phased out in 2015. It's estimated that there were 400 million births that were prevented because of this. It's incredible. The laws of our land allow for abortion, and that's not right. I believe, and I hope you believe this as well, life begins at conception, and it goes until natural death. So these crazy laws just wasn't in biblical times. The Pharaoh, during the reign of Moses and his parents, declares in Exodus 1 that he's concerned that the Israelites might grow to such a number that it wouldn't be good. So he says this in verse 22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." What a deal. Wow. What would you do if this decree came down? Now, I know many of you in this room right now aren't worried about having children. But just as a reminder to you, we did talk a couple of weeks ago about Abraham and Sarah and them having a child real late. Now, I'm not planning for any of that, of course. But what would happen if a decree came down like this? And what do we do with the government's laws? And I think the faith of Moses' parents was far greater than a government idea. I'm going to read one verse today. It's Hebrews chapter 11. It's verse 23. If you happen to have a Bible on the chair in front of you, it's on page 1008. It'll be on the screen behind me, or maybe you brought your own Bible in whatever fashion. Here's what it says. I want you to catch it because there's some interesting words here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Where are we going with this? Number one, by faith. As a reminder, most of these verses start off with the words by faith. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Verse 6, now with faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. And we're working our way to Hebrews chapter 12, which tells us that therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race that is marked in front of us. We see this. Moses' parents had great faith. It says this, though, in the scripture, if you read it, according to the ESV translation. It doesn't even say by faith Moses' parents. Did you catch that? It says, by faith, Moses. That's interesting to me. but it was really the faith of the parents, which we're going to talk about that in a moment here. There is a legend that says that Moses' dad, anybody know Moses' dad's name? Anybody know Moses' mom's name? Moses' mom's name was Jochebed, and Moses' dad's name was Amram. Amram and Jochebed. There's a legend that says that Amram put away his wife. Now, what I mean by that is that he had her go away so that they wouldn't be involved intimately, so there wouldn't be any possibilities of her becoming pregnant, because he wanted to spare her the sorrow of seeing her children killed. We're not sure if that's true or not, but there's a legend that says that. Would you want to even do that? Say, well, there's an edict that is out, and maybe whatever happened is that they did have a child. What would you do if you knew the edict that was put out, and you knew that if you had a child, that child would very possibly, if it was a boy, be killed? You wouldn't even want to risk it. We're not sure what happened here, because when you look in Exodus, we're not sure that any child was killed. But this was a weird edict, a weird restriction. I want to talk to you this morning about your parents. Pastor Eric talked last week about the passing of a blessing and passing of parents' faith, and what kind of faith did they have. Now, several of you in the room have had parents that were very godly. Several of you had parents that were very ungodly. But your parents taught you something. And no matter if they were godly or ungodly, they taught you something that was valuable in my mind. I thought of some parents' names. I thought of the names of Amram and Jochebed, of course. Hardly hometown names. Now, Amber Herder is pregnant, and she's expecting a girl, and you could just change everything, and you could have the name be Jochebed instead of the name you've chosen. That would be something. My name is Steve, and Steve's a very common name. Manel is not a very common name, and names are interesting, but I want you to think about parents. Anybody know John Wesley's parents' names? Anybody know those? Mother's name was Susanna. Anybody know the father's name? Samuel. Samuel and Susanna. See, we know John and Charles, but we don't know Samuel and Susanna. There was a guy by the name of Michael Jordan. Anybody know Michael Jordan? Do you know his mom and dad's name were? Or is? I'm assuming his mother is still alive. His father's not. His parents' names are James and Dolores. Let me give you another name here, another set of names. See if you can tell me who their child is. The names are Fred and Mary Ann. Does anybody know who their child is? Their child is named Donald Trump. Donald's parents are Fred and Mary Ann. Here's another one. Maybe you can know this one. Thomas and Nancy were two names of parents. Anybody know who their child might have been? Thomas and Nancy Lincoln. Would you happen to know what their child's name was? How about Abraham? How about this name? James and Myrtle. Now, Myrtle's not a real common name, though I know a couple of those. Anybody know who James and Myrtle's son is? Many of you have listened to him on the radio. That would be the name of James Dobson. His parents were named James and Myrtle. And then this one, I'm not sure you'll get this one, but maybe you will. Raymond and Florence. Anybody know who child is Raymond and Florence? Raymond and Florence had a son by the name of Dennis, and his last name is actually Dugard, who leads our state. Now, the reason why I bring up these names is these parents taught their kids. And one thing I believe that catapulted Moses to greatness was his parents' great faith. I believe that Amram and Jochebed's faith moved Moses to deeper levels. If you're a parent in the room, what is your faith in? does it help your child move closer or further away from God? Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. I thought of this for a little bit. How do you hide a child for 3 months? Let alone, I'm not going to have Amber come back up on stage here, but many of you know that Amber's pregnant and due to give birth in about a month here. How do you hide a pregnant lady? Nope, just gain a little extra weight there. How do you do that? Amram and Jochebed believed in Moses. If you're a parent in the room, do you believe in your kids? Now, honestly, do you show it? Many of us as parents say this, but do we show it? How do we show we believe in our kids? We show we believe in our kids by spending time with them instead of our own interests. This is hard for us. We're adults. We're supposed to have our own interests. But why not live our interests through our kids? Moses' parents knew the king's edict. And they may have said, oh, this is going to be in trouble. But they had faith in their God and faith in their son. Let me sidestep for just a moment here. Because I know there are some of you in the room that don't have kids in the home. You've never had kids. You're single. You're a grandparent. Whatever, and you're like, thanks for preaching this message, Pastor Steve. But I don't have kids, and so it doesn't apply to me. It sure does. Whether you don't have kids in the home or whether you've never had kids, because it sure does. Sometimes people view the church as being couple or family oriented, but let me tell you, if you're a single person, you can be involved in a number of different ways. Let me point out one to you. Awana's coming up. And some of you don't have kids in Awana, but you're saying, you know what? It's not all about me. It's about someone else. I just chatted with a man this week who's in his mid-50s. And this is what he told me. He said when he was 14, he was doing things that weren't very good. And he was with a group of friends that weren't very good. And he had a teacher. And the teacher actually, he's from Rapid City, so the teacher was over at Rapid City Stevens, and he came up alongside of him and he said, hey, knock it off. You are more than this. The man, at age 14, was flabbergasted. I don't know if he was mad, but I'm pretty sure he was frustrated about this. Who's this teacher telling me what's up? But the man said, look at your friends. And so for whatever reason, this man sat down that night as his friends gathered around and they were messing around. He started looking at his friends and he thought, yeah, this is not me. I shouldn't. And what happened is it changed the trajectory of this man's life. Was this a dad? No. This was a teacher at a school who came along the side of a kid and said, hey, you're more than this. See, I believe that whether you're a parent or not, you can find somebody and say, you're something. You're something valuable. And trust me on this. Trust me on this. There is some young person in your world, as well as there is some older people in your world that don't view themselves very highly in God's sight, and you have the opportunity to be, if you will, Amram and Jochebed and say, though there's a king's edict, though there's several things going on, we see you, as Scripture says, as beautiful. You can do something great. Received a letter in the mail, my son did, from a guy here recently. And in his letter, at the end of his letter, this is what he said. I hope you don't become a broken, an old broken down man like me. What his words spoke volumes to me, because when he looks in the mirror, what does he see? He sees himself as an old broken down man. The reason why I'm communicating is this. Amram and Jochebed said, we see our son as beautiful. Maybe you don't have a son, maybe you don't have a daughter, but there's someone around you that when they look in the mirror, they don't see themselves as beautiful. Are you willing to have faith in your kids or whomever God is laying on your heart and not have your name be known? Let me go back to the scripture. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. We don't even know their names. It doesn't mention it. I mean, we can know them from Exodus, but we don't even know their names. Dads and moms, we need to step out of the way to let our children grow. Amrad and Jochebed had to do this, but it was tough. What are you building into your week? If you're a parent in the room, to develop and grow your children, there's 168 hours in the week. Now, 40 of those hours are spent working. Some of those hours are spent sleeping. And how much are we as parents pursuing our own interests and not our children? There are so many things that call for us. Facebook, sports, whether it be TV or personal, more work, leisure, activity, reading. Pastor Eric shared a great idea last week in his message. And he shared the idea of grabbing a Bible and opening the Bible and reading aloud. That's a wonderful thing. If you're a dad in the room, do it. If you're a husband in the room, do it. Some of you don't have somebody else in your home, okay? Then find somebody else and say, let's read a book together and let's discuss that. Instead of, dad, this is what I see the old time. Old time, dad's at home, this is several years ago, dad's at home reading the paper and everybody else is sitting around the kitchen table and don't bother dad because he's reading the paper. Now it's become dad's checking his sports and checking how the New York Yankees are doing. They were down 3 games, by the way. I was kind of saddened by that, but that's all right. We're not at the end of the season yet. Checking sports. Moms, instead of several years ago, watching the soap opera and saying, shh, I got to find out what's happening in the soap opera. Now it's taking a selfie and then posting it on Facebook so everybody in the world can know, as well as so you can check Facebook as well for the next 5 minutes. And ignore our kids. Let me give you a suggestion. Instead of reading by yourself, read out loud to your family. Be in a small group. Church is the community. I want to mention this also. Amram and Jochebed took care of their son in his infancy, but I think there's a biblical concept that we can get and say, if you're a parent of adult kids, protect your kids. Watch over your in-laws as well. They saw, Amram and Jochebed, they saw that Moses was beautiful. In another translation, it says that they saw him not as ordinary. I don't know about you. I don't know if you look in the mirror and you think, I'm one handsome dude. Or you look in the mirror and say, man, when God was giving out looks, I am cute, I am beautiful, I'm a lady, I got it. Or if you view yourself a little differently than that. God views each of you as beautiful and not ordinary. They knew, Amram and Jochebed knew something special about this child. Parents, have great faith in your kids. Now, his parents, Moses' parents, were not afraid of the king's edict. However, if you look back in Exodus chapter 1 is where you read the story, and if you look in Exodus chapter 2, you see that not only did they not fear the king's edict, but the midwives, the one who helped deliver the babies, it says that the midwives also feared God. Wow, what a neat thing that was. They helped in this process as well. We are supposed to submit to the governing authorities, but God also asked us to submit to Him. And I want you to think about this. Not only did they hide Moses, but they gave him up. Now, many of you know the story, maybe you don't, but Moses was born, they hid him for 3 months, and then he just got a little too wild, I guess, and started crying ever more loudly. And so what they had to do is they got a little basket, and they put him in a basket, and they let him float down the river, and he floated down the river, and all of a sudden, here is Pharaoh's daughter, and she found him, and when she found him, then Miriam was standing there close by, and, hey, do you want me to have somebody nurse this baby? And the Pharaoh's daughter said, sure. So what probably happened is that Moses went back to live with his parents, but then when he was weaned, which we're thinking was probably about a year or maybe 2 years, he went back and he went to the palace. Now you think about this. I'm trying to think. We have a couple of, well, I have one, at least one two-year-old in the room. Think about this as parents. First of all, we're fearful that Moses will live, and then when he's two, we say, see ya. Go ahead and be raised in Pharaoh's palace. Now, there is probably some great aspects to that, but I'm telling you something, those of you who are parents in this room, my opinion, there are relatively few people that you're going to let your two-year-old go to. There would be about maybe five in your world, and then everybody else, you're going to be like, well, I don't know. I don't know about them. They gave up Moses. These parents' faith overcame their fear. Imagine their fear. As parents, we fear our kid running out into the street, getting the wrong crowd, going down the wrong path. But they could have been afraid of this edict of death, but they were not. Hear what an author by the name of Bullinger says when we're talking about how the child was beautiful. Affection would not have driven away their fear. It would have increased it. The more they admired and loved the child, the more would they fear lest any evil should happen to it. But it was not so. It was by faith. And the more they loved, the less they feared. Total switch around, if you will. I have a watch. I'll take it off for you here this morning. I usually wear this on Sundays. I don't wear this when I'm out working in the yard because this one's a little more pricey than the one that I have that works out in the yard. This one's a little more, if you will, beautiful. Now, you might have a watch that's better than this, and you can't see it real good, but it has Black Hills gold on it. I like this watch. It was given to me as a gift, and so I wear it on Sundays. This is not one of these that I wear out in the garden to get it dirty. This is one that I wear it to a little more because it's beautiful, if you will. I don't know if you can use that word beautiful about a watch, but I mean, think about some earrings. Some of you ladies have earrings that are just like cheapos. They're like, you know, $5, like $10. But think about if I was to present to you a $3,000 set of earrings. They better be beautiful. They better be nice. But some of you ladies would be like, I'm never wearing those. Well, why wouldn't you wear them? They're beautiful. I don't want to lose any. I mean, what if I lost it? Then I'd lose, like, if I lost one, I'd lose $1,500. I'm never going to wear it. It's beautiful. And so understand what they were doing with Moses. They saw him as beautiful. Well, shouldn't they just want him more? But no, by faith, they said, we're willing to give him up. Moses' parents had great faith. Thank your parents, if they're still alive, for having great faith. Parents, tell your kids today the faith that you have in your kids, even if they've messed up 250, 3,952 times. Some of you know some kids around you that you just need to look at and say, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're not ordinary. There's another note that I want to share with all of you this morning. And hear this. I'm not your dad. I'm not your mom. However, I know in a group of this size, there's got to be at least one of you that when you look in the mirror, you don't see something beautiful. You see something just ordinary. So if you're within the sound of my voice today, hear me in this. God thinks that each one of you are beautiful. You're not ordinary, and he has great faith in you. When you walk out of the service today, don't believe the lie of the enemy that says, oh, you're nothing. because you're something. And I appreciate the fact that Amram and Jochebed just kind of stepped out. We don't even know their name. And yet Moses, think of who Moses was. We're going to talk about Moses a little more in the next couple weeks. Who was Moses? He was this magnificent person. May you know that you're not ordinary, that you're a special human being. I have faith in you. And better than that, God has faith in you. He had faith in Moses. And by faith, when he was born, he was hidden. But then he rose up in a mighty and a powerful way because of God's power. May each of you rise up and be like Moses and know that you're beautiful and that God has a plan, is making that plan come to fruition. See, Moses' parents weren't afraid of a law. Moses was born and did great things because of his parents and their faith. Be thankful. Be thankful today for your parents' faith. Or thank the Lord for someone who came alongside you and mentored you in the faith. If I may say this, parents, have great faith in your kids. But more than that, parents, have great faith in God Almighty. And He will do great things through your kids. Join me in a word of prayer if you would stand with me this morning as we close our service. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the faith of Amram and Jochebed. There was that law that was out there that they could have been scared of, but they weren't. And they had this little baby by the name of Moses. They saw that he was beautiful, not ordinary, and despite the king's edict, here was this young boy that grew up to be a mighty man. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would be with each mom and each dad in the room here today. Some of these have children that are in the home, and sometimes they get messy, and I just pray that you would help them to see each one of their children that you have blessed them with as being beautiful, not ordinary, and that at times could they just step out of the way and let their children shine. Lord Jesus, I think of some parents in this room that have adult children and they're not in the same location with them at all times. May they rise up and see their children. May they rise up and see their in-laws as beautiful and have great faith. May they be the ones that have the great faith for their family, the entire family. Lord Jesus, I pray for some individuals in this room that don't have children. Help them to see that they can have great faith for others around them as well, whether it be a young teen or whether it be a colleague at work. May they see that they can have great faith and lead others to you as well. Thank you, God, for raising up Moses, for sparing his life. And I ask that as we leave from this day, we will know that we are special and that we are beautiful and we're definitely not ordinary because we are children of yours. Go before each of us this day. Grant us your peace and your strength. And may we have this wonderful day of worshiping you on this Sunday. Be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We love you and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.